Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts again for this weekend show, and it was another busy week. I feel like I've been saying that even through these kind of summer doldrum trading sessions that we've been having, but great time to reanalyze a lot of the companies in your portfolio and to try to get an understanding of what direction the markets might go post-summer trading. Chad and I are kicking off the show with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, when it comes to trading this time of the year, especially this year, look, markets are slow. They are range-bound. I see an opportunity for short-term traders to make some money just simply trading these swings. But when it comes to big picture, what are the main themes that you are watching for these markets that might not be prevalent right now, but it could, when we all come back from summer, from the summer session, could really drive markets?
Sure. I would say, you know, the best way to sum it up is it's a warp, zerp, nerp world, and we're all just living in it. And if somebody's not familiar with those acronyms, it simply means low, zero, or negative interest rate policy. And I'm referencing, of course, what the Fed is doing now and is likely to continue to do in terms of the U.S. Interest rate market, as well as what we're seeing in Japan and Europe and other sort of advanced economies. I think, you know, you've seen there was a lot of freaking out going on back in the early spring about what, you know, interest rates. So now the economy is really going to upshift. We have all this fiscal stimulus being thrown at the economy, inflation's picking up, 2% 10-year or 3% 10-year or 4% 10-year or whatever, you know, lots of crazy targets being thrown out there. But the reality is, not just the U.S. economy, but other advanced economies are still bearing. Structural issues are still demographics, you know, in terms of less immigration, lower birth rates and so on. All these things combine to basically put a lid on how far interest rates can rise before it, for lack of a better term, breaks the economy. So what we've seen is basically, you know, in the last several months, really since late spring, early summer, we've seen interest rates drift lower and now start to fall a little faster. We have, you know, negative yields across the bond curve in places like Germany. We have the U.S. 10-year that's been getting, you know, precipitously close to 1% again after being up at 1.75% not too long ago. And you're seeing the markets react by basically having money rotate into sectors that do better with interest rates being low, quote unquote, forever. So that would be things like your utilities, your higher yielding utilities. It would be things like real estate investment trusts, which have performed extraordinarily well. It would be things like other dividend paying companies where you can beat what you're earning on a 10-year. And also something that you're seeing begin to happen in precious metals. One of the biggest reasons why gold, silver, and mining shares were suffering, you know, a few months back, is that the markets and investors were afraid of, you know, the Fed coming in and saying, we're going to start tapering our bond buys really soon. And then after that, we're going to follow it up with imminent interest rate hikes. That kind of puts pressure on precious metals, given, you know, the threat that rising yields propose to a 0% yield and gold bar. What we've seen more recently is that pressure come off. So what's happening? I mean, you know, very quietly, sort of behind the scenes, you know, gold and silver prices have risen from their lows of a few months back. Now we may be beginning to see, or maybe on the cusp of, a significant upside breakout, and a lot of catch up to be done, so to speak, if that does happen. So long story short, I think, you know, the outlook for precious metals investors is getting better. The outlook for, you know, yield-seeking, safe money income investors has been good and continues to be good. Things getting better, and I think you're going to continue to see sort of this easy money environment.
All right, Mike, well, we'll especially get into the precious metals here, but I just want to kind of refocus back on the bond market here because yields have been dropping, and it's been surprising to a lot of traders because, yeah, we are down, as we're recording this, little above 1.1% on the 10-year, and that is in the face of higher inflation data. Is the bond market telling us that inflation might be transitory? And again, I guess investors are taking some defensive positions, but it's not the same sort of defensive positions we were seeing kind of in the early part of last year after that COVID washout. So what's the balance when it comes simply to this falling yield environment?
Sure. I think you have two things going on. In the shorter term, you have concerns that, okay, this delta, not anything like what we saw in 2020 when the economy basically shut down, but maybe some lower level of over there. Also, in the shorter term, I think you're seeing a bit more political resistance to out-of-control, widespread, extremely aggressive stimulus spending. I mean, yes, there's this infrastructure bill that looks like it's going to pass or it's going to hit the, get signed by Biden before too long. So there's not as much meat on the bone there when you look kind of behind the scenes. And I think a third thing is the longer-term issue. I mean, when you continue to pile debt on top of an economy, consumer debt, corporate debt, government debt, and so on, as the principal amount that everybody owns goes up, it takes a smaller and smaller increase in interest rates, payments on that debt to a level that the economy just can't handle. I always kind of, say when I talk to people here in the U.S., when I grew up, my first mortgage in the early 80s, I paid 16%, 17%, so on. Why is everybody worried about a 4% mortgage rate or a 3% mortgage rate? And I point out, you may have paid 16%, 17%, but you only borrowed $60,000-$70,000 to buy that house. So when you pay a much lower price for an asset, meaning a house, and you say you raise the interest rate a percentage point or two, it doesn't have much of a monthly payment impact. When a house costs $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, again, given what's happened with house price inflation in the last year or two, it doesn't take a big increase in interest rates to basically make that house unaffordable. The monthly payment goes up sharply for a much smaller increase in rate. And you apply it to the government's borrowing or the corporate borrowing and so on, which has gone through the roof in the last couple of years. What does that mean? It means the economy can't handle higher rates, so we're not going to get them. And that's a sort of a big picture sort of, another term I've seen for it out there is called Japanification, because, a country like Japan has been mired in low and zero and negative interest rates for, 2.5 decades now, going on 3? We're sort of in that same boat. Europe's sort of in that same boat. That's the big picture thing that I think everybody should keep in mind as an investor.
Mike, that's an interesting point about the Japanification. Do you think that it's a situation where the Fed really didn't want rates to get too high anyways because of the huge debt burden that they hold? So in a way, they've jawboned the market down by, putting out the idea that maybe this inflation is just transitory and trying to keep those rates in that range where they don't go too low, they don't go too high. It's kind of that Goldilocks zone. But there's also the question of where is all this bond buying coming from? And with the weakness in some of the other world markets, do you think that it's foreign investors that are actually storing or parking some of their money in U.S. markets and in bonds and treasuries just as their own safe haven?
Yeah, I think, what you hit on there at the end in terms of safe haven buying and really relative value. I mean, in the U.S., you think, 1.1%, 1.2%, whatever, who the heck wants to earn that? But compared to what you're seeing in Germany, where a 10-year yields negative 51 basis points as of earlier this year, or this week, that looks somewhat compelling, even once you take the foreign exchange risk involved there as well. So, yeah, some of it's foreign buying. Some of it's domestic buying. I mean, as you get an aging population, I always kind of say that in colloquial terms, grandma and grandpa don't want to buy a bunch of tech stocks. They want to buy things that are going to give them security. So as the U.S. population ages and other populations age in advanced economies, what are they buying? They're buying safer stuff. They're buying bonds. So there's demand coming from that. It's all of these factors combined with falling expectations for future rates.
Good point there, Mike. Unfortunately, I have to cut you off for this first segment, but we're bringing you back on next segment, and we're going to just keep on talking big picture markets, trying to make sense of some of these summer moves, and also just what is reasonable to expect out of these different markets. Everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back with Mike Larson.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and Chad and I are continuing to chat with Mike Larson. Now, as promised in the last segment, Mike, let's get into the precious metals sector, especially gold. You did outline that you are optimistic, bullish on gold. However, look, as we're recording this on Wednesday, there just hasn't been much movement in the gold price, and quite frankly, after a good about 2 year run, gold's been in a 1 year correction, not in a bear market, not down 20%, but as we're recording this, it is down about 12%, and quite frankly, almost every other market has outperformed gold, and that's even in a setup where interest rates have remained low, the dollar has remained in the low 90s. If investors are looking to take some defensive positions, much like they have in bonds, it hasn't carried over to gold. Now, you could take the flip side of that and say, look, gold's still around 1800. That is historically a high level for gold. But the way we're seeing, I don't know, a bit better data come in and still some, I think, optimism about reopening everything globally, that could provide some headwinds for gold even further. So, Mike, your takeaway from why gold hasn't been more of a safe haven play in these markets.
Sure. I think one of the big issues has been the U.S. dollar in terms of how it is also flows and has basically been moving sideways to higher for a number of months here. And I think a lot of that move in the dollar has been predicated on the idea that the Fed is going to start tapering, is going to start raising interest rates, and that U.S. rates are therefore not only going to remain raised, they're also going to increase that gap. But what's starting to happen in the last couple of weeks is that the dollar has lost a little bit of steam. And if we continue to get things like the somewhat weak or the really weak ADP employment report earlier this week and so on, if the government numbers and the ADP numbers continue to weaken from their heady levels a couple months back or a few months back, the dollar is probably going to break. And that, I think, would be the last shoe to drop for gold and silver. So if you already have falling yields, you already have lowering expectations for growth. If you also see the U.S. dollar begin to lose ground, I mean, that's kind of, again, like I said, that's sort of the last component here that could really light a fire under precious metals. So that's what I'd be watching most closely and what I think could, help gold gain its next $100, $200 an ounce if the dollar does continue to, or does lose ground and begin to fall and retrace that move higher that we had seen for the last several months.
Well, Mike, if the dollar does roll over and continue to head down, do you believe that that'll also give the rest of the commodity sector a boost in addition to gold and silver? Could that still underpin some of the strength we've seen recently in oil and some of the base metals and even some of the food commodities and soft commodities? Do you think that those would all get a bump even further, even after having a nice run and having a slight pullback?
I think the dollar declining would definitely help lend some support there. But if the dollar is declining because all of a sudden people are worried about U.S. growth, people are worried about U.S. employment, people are worried about, fading stimulus and so on, then that's going to probably favor precious over base metals. So a lot of kind of cross currents here, a lot of ways this could break. All else being equal, a falling dollar does support other dollar price commodities and dollar traded commodities. But I would think that you'd get more horsepower to the upside in precious versus base in that scenario.
How concerned, Mike, do we need to be whether you're taking defensive positions, whether you are sitting in cash or in the equity markets, that a broader pullback, that almost correction or recession or bear market that it seems like we've been waiting for over a decade in U.S. markets, how worried do we need to be that that comes and it pulls down everything?
I don't think we're in a scenario where the U.S. economy is tumbling back into recession or recession risk is rising substantially. I don't think we're on the cusp of a major break in credit markets or anything that we've seen, in past scenarios. And I think part of that is just the never-ending stimulus. I mean, even in the slightest crack, we see cracks around the edge and what happens? Oh, there's Jay Powell on the tape talking about how he's going to roll, he's going to be there and he's got your back. And oh, there comes, another expectation that Fed tapering is going to be pushed out another 3, 4, 5, 6 months. At some point, that sort of support, those types of moves won't really support asset prices and we'll see something uglier. But I don't see that happening imminently. I think what you're likely to see is more of the same rotational moves behind the market, people buying higher yield sectors that have more resilience in a slower growth but not recession environment. And again, things like precious metals and so on. I don't think we're on the cusp of a major deflationary, recessionary break. That may come down the road, but that's certainly not what I'm looking for, you know, this year or probably even next year.
So, Mike, when it comes to maybe the trading in precious metals, then for those investors looking at some of the stocks, which a lot of our listeners do, are you a bit more focused on, I know you like the big guys anyway, but are you a bit more focused on those bigger stocks? Because quite frankly, even the majors and some of the bigger royalty companies have pulled back fairly significantly throughout this last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that there's probably value almost up and down the size, the food chain, so to speak. I mean, you know, you're going to see mainstream money, obviously, when it wants to buy miners, it tends to, you know, the big fund managers and so on will get into the big names first. If that trend then has horsepower, you see sort of the money filter down to the juniors and the smaller names. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a show-me environment where I think you're going to have to see the big companies, the big miners, you know, show these fund managers, hey, you can make money in this sector, and then we'll see if you get more trickle down. But, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the way things work. And again, it really does depend what happens with the dollar here. Will this sort of nascent potential breakout turn into something much more powerful? And if it does, if we do break some of these important technical resistance levels, I mean, again, you could see gold up $100, $150, $200 in a pretty short period of time.
All right, final point then, Mike, when it comes to maybe portfolio management during this slow period of summer, what do you do during these summer trading sessions? Do you trim your portfolio? Do you start to get a bit more aggressive as we near the end of summer? Do you reanalyze? What's your strategy during these times?
You know, you're absolutely right in that sort of liquidity, you know, drains out of the market. There's more, it's more sort of languid trading environment where you don't tend to see big moves. But I think if you are someone who's got some time to do the work, sit at your desk, you know, look at some, analyze some of these things that where the setups look fairly positive. I mean, again, the setups are there. And if we do see, you know, you get post-Labor Day, you do get out of August, move into, you know, September, October, and some of these setups start to pan out, that's when you're going to see the big money begin to chase and, you know, really turbocharge these moves. So I think you definitely want to be adding exposure and sort of picking and choosing your spots in things that look like they have a pretty good setup, like metals, like mining shares and so on. Because if the whales and the elephants sort of come back after Labor and see that move, you know, gaining steam, it's really going to be pretty powerful. So, I mean, I like the setup here. I definitely think there's time for some big catch-up buying. We just need to see some of those triggers and some of those technical levels go. And that would, and again, like I said, the dollar, and that would be that would really be a sign, a good sign for a strong finish of the year.
All right, Mike, it's always great having you on the show, buddy, and I hope this kind of more broad look at the markets and positioning that we are seeing traders go into. I know that whole defensive narrative of where traders are going has been really underplayed because U.S. markets keep on touching these all-time highs. Mike, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
More Americans finding jobs. The federal government releasing the unemployment report Friday. Over 940,000 jobs added. The unemployment rate drops to 5.4%. We're still not at pre-pandemic levels, but President Biden says this is proof we're heading in the right direction.
Now, while our economy is far from complete, and while we doubtlessly will have ups and downs along the way as we continue to battle the Delta surge of COVID, what is indisputable now is this. The Biden plan is working. The Biden plan produces results, and the Biden plan is moving the country forward.
The report coming out after 25 states opt out of federal unemployment assistance in an effort to get more people back to work. This report, though, doesn't include a state-by-state breakdown. A fire burning for over 3 weeks in Northern California, making history. The Dixie wildfire, now the largest single wildfire in state history, the third biggest overall. This is USA Radio News. Many kids will be starting the school year in the classroom, but there seems to be some disagreement among federal officials as to whether in-person learning will be disrupted. Dr. Anthony Fauci telling USA Today on Friday how important it is for kids to be in the classroom.
The detrimental effect, both mental health, physical and social development, intellectual learning of children is really devastating.
Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, though, saying Friday at a town hall in Boston, it may be best to have students learning from home if community spread of the virus gets to a certain level. The federal government pausing student loan payments through the end of January. The Department of Education says this will be the final extension of the pause. Hezbollah firing rockets into Israel from Lebanon for the first time in 15 years. The rockets fired Friday into northern Israel. No word on casualties. A recall notice issued for dehumidifiers. New Wide Tech recalling about 2 million units because they can overheat and catch fire. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, Chad and I are chatting with Trader Vic Sparandio. It's been a few months since I've had Trader Vic back on, and we were getting a number of emails asking for an update on Vic's thoughts on the market. So here we are. Trader Vic, I appreciate you taking the time. We have a lot of different markets to get to, and we're going to start off with inflation. Look, inflation has been all over the news. A lot of eyeballs are on every inflation data point that comes out, and the discussion or debate is remaining that inflation, is it going to be transitory or is it going to stick around? Right now, inflation numbers are running hot, but the trajectory of where inflation is going seems to have maybe petered out, almost flatlined for a little bit here, but it has flatlined at generally higher inflation levels. Trader Vic, break down for us, please, your thoughts on this whole inflation narrative that has really captured the market's attention.
Okay. Just to repeat, so that we have a premise in which we're talking and how I think is based on what inflation is. Most forecasters on TV or commentators, they believe inflation are price increases. That is the result of inflation. If I can pound the table, just to get the record straight, inflation is purely the increase in the money supply, and the extent of the price increases come from the velocity of money. But in this case, when you talk inflation, it is nothing to do with prices. It has to do, that's the result. It has to do with what is the Fed doing. So if the Fed says it's transitory, what they're saying is the price increases will slow down. But then if you ask the question, well, how much money are you going to print? They wouldn't answer that. See, they wouldn't tell you that. They've even stopped publishing the M2 numbers as frequently as they did. So let's all understand that when I say inflation, I'm talking about what the Fed is doing to the money supply, and the extent of the price increases will be the velocity of money. In other words, if you went into a 1923 Germany scenario, that was all based on the velocity. If you come into today with the Fed, and even in the 70s, it's based on the quantity of money they're printing. So that's inflation. The results come in all forms. For example, they come in the stock market. They go into the art market. The key to where it goes is who gets the money. So if you print, if you do QE and you give it to, let's say you gave $100 billion to Warren Buffett, I mean, he's not going to go out and buy cars and things. He's going to put it in the market, so you'll see the money that he gets will push up stock prices. So just to be clear on that, I just want to make that well known. Now, the second part of this that's important is you don't look at the year-over-year number. The year-over-year number is 5.4. This is what most people talk about. That's absurd to look at that because you're comparing prices that were in the pandemic lows, the depression lows, if you want to call it that, that were created by governors mainly. And so now that's gone. Way to look at inflation is you take the monthly numbers, you add them together. For example, this year, it's the last reported numbers of 6 months. They average 6.8. So then you multiply that by 12. So you take the average months, add them up, divide by the amount, multiply it by 12. You're dealing with an 8.4% inflation rate. That's the actual way to read it, not year over year. Year over year is interesting, but it has no meaning on what's going on. What's going on are these monthly changes. And of course, the CPI is bogus too. So, I mean, you're never going to get an accurate reading. But if you want a semi-realistic look at what, you know, they're trying to calculate using the CPI, you got to use the monthlies and then annualize the monthlies in the current period, whatever period you want to use. But year over year has no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah, Trader Vic, it's interesting because when we saw QE start back at the Great Financial Crisis, people were saying there was no inflation, even though there was massive money printing, because there really wasn't that velocity of money. But over the last year or so, with the massive spending programs and helicopter money and sending checks to people directly and the payment protection plan for small businesses, we've seen that M2 and the circulation of money increase. And then, like you're saying, the result is the pricing. But how do you think that's affecting the safe haven market, so the bonds and gold and where people are rotating the money? Because it looks like we're still seeing lower interest rates, but if you look at your monthly calculation the way you just figured it, between 6-8% inflation is definitely inflation. So it seems silly to jump into bonds and have a negative real return, and one would think this would boost gold. So how do you see the setup in interest rates and gold?
Well, understand that the bond market is being manipulated, so you don't know what real interest rates are for the long bond because they're being purchased by the Fed and part of that $120 billion a month that they buy. The key is inflation, and remember now, when I talk about the money supply, okay, I'm not talking about prices. Inflation is going to be temperate, and in this case, Powell is effectuating his own call, and this is where these reverse repos come in. See, I go back to the 70s, early 70s. Nobody even knew what the Fed funds rate was then. But the key is that a reverse repo is taking money out of the system. The last number I saw was $1 trillion. So if you take $120 billion that the Fed is buying each month, you multiply it by 6 months, the last recorded, let's say, the amount that is, they've done July now, so it'd be about $840 billion. But they just did a reverse repo at the end of last week, which was a trillion. So you're taking out a trillion by effectively these reverse repo means I'm selling securities, meaning the Fed, I'm getting cash. So you're taking cash out of the system, you're reducing liquidity. Now, just to make a point, if you look, you can Google FRED, Fred, that's the St. Louis Fed, and then put in reverse repos, you'll get a chart. If you look carefully at that chart, there was a little spike up in May, and then it retracted a little bit, and then it went above the previous high, using chart terms here. That was the end of where commodities started to rally, because they saw what people like me are sensitive to what the Fed is doing in their balance sheet, but they're also sensitive to what they're doing in what they call their operations. In this case, the reverse repo is part of operations. So if you look at that, for example, you'll see May 7th is when these reverse repos started to accelerate, and what Powell was doing then was trying to appease the markets by saying, okay, we do care about inflation, but we can't do anything that's obvious about it, meaning we can't raise rates and we're not going to taper, because too many people are following that now, it would disturb the equity market. So if you look, however, at most commodity markets, many, I'll say many, not most, copper being a very good guy. Copper is probably the best lead indicator of any of the commodities. Copper peaked the same time that you see the reverse repo rate go above the early May highs. So that was an indication that the Fed is draining money. So inflation, again, using money supply, they're taking money out of the system. Inflation will be less.
You're right. It is as simple as that, at least in this environment, where when a big player like the Fed starts to drain liquidity, inflation does drop. But hey, Trader Vic, in all fairness, it seems like central banks are starting to lean towards tightening. We have to break it off here, Trader Vic. But you know what? The full segment of our interview will be posted on our website, kereport.com, for everyone listening on the radio. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the weekend edition.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals, Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Because we recorded the first three segments a bit earlier in the week, I wanted to save this last segment in the first hour to recap what happened on Friday, because after that jobs number, boy, oh boy, we saw some important market moves, especially, I think, in the gold market. We will get to that later on in this interview. Shad and I are chatting with Mark Chandler. He is the managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Mark, let's recap that jobs data. So the data, 100,000 jobs approximately, better than what was estimated. The payroll number grew in July by 943,000 jobs. This brought down the unemployment rate to 5.4%. Look, this number really was taken positively by the markets, by investors, and by news sources. And when you dive into it, I think understandably so. We saw some wage growth, more in the lower wage area, so that doesn't really contribute too much to higher inflation. And, well, again, across the board, we had another beat over the estimate. This is almost 2 months in a row now that the jobs data is showing that the U.S. economy is maybe stronger than a lot of the bears want to admit right now. And that also carries over the whole narrative to, is the Fed going to taper a little bit earlier than some expect, maybe even this year? Mark, first, summarize this jobs data. What was your takeaway from it, please?
And I agree with you. The jobs data was strong. It was the second month in a row, over 900,000 jobs created, talking 943,000 in July after a revised 938,000 in June. You know, you get above 900,000, I think we have to consider this like a million jobs being created, which is as much as people could reasonably have expected, I think. And like you say, some of the underlying details were also constructive. Manufacturing jobs, the hourly earnings, the unemployment rate, the underemployment rate fell from 9.8% to 9.2%. If there was one small sort of exception, it would really be where did the fact that the U.S. jobs grew more than expected, where was that growth? And it turns out that growth, about 240,000, came from the government sector.
the private sector added 703,000 jobs, which is still a very strong number, though not quite as strong as June. So that's the only sort of nitpicky issue there. But I think that the takeaway is that the Federal Reserve is on path to taper. I think that the Jackson Hole Symposium at the end of August is still in play for a strong hint of tapering. And I think that we get a more formal announcement at the September FOMC meeting when there's going to be new forecasts available, a new dot plot as well.
Well, Mark, one takeaway I see today on Friday is that it seemed to take some of the moves that were already in motion and just act as an accelerant, the lower unemployment rate, the good jobs data, the payroll numbers, because you noticed that the rates were already kind of bouncing midweek and they've continued to bounce higher. The dollar was already kind of bouncing midweek and it's bounced higher. And gold was already a little under pressure earlier in the week and it's continued lower today. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, the U.S. 10-year yield bottomed on Wednesday about 1.125%. And it recovered on Wednesday and finishing the week near just below 130. And similarly, in the currency markets, we saw the same kind of thing. You look at what happened on Wednesday after the U.S. yields bottomed. The dollar index put in a reversal where it traded on both sides of Tuesday's range and then closed above Tuesday's high. Not much follow-through yesterday, but a lot of follow-through today to the upside. And I think that there's not really much stopping us from testing last month's high, which came in just above 93, almost 93.20. And then the year's high on the dollar index was set at the end of March, about 93.45. So I think that we tried testing the dollar's downside. The euro traded exactly at 119 on Wednesday, and then it too reversed lower. We've seen almost all the major currencies. We saw important price action, either a formal reversal pattern, an outside trading day on Wednesday, and the dollar is finishing the week, actually, basically now at its best levels for the week, and some currencies even better than that. And so it does look to me like you're right that the jobs data pushed on an open door. Bond yields were already rising. We had some hawkish comments from Fed officials, the market thought, and we had this stronger jobs data, which sort of reinforces that, all pushing bond yields higher, the dollar higher, and gold lower.
So is this a trend, at least when it comes to, well, actually all three of these, we can encompass it all in one question, where is it too early to say that the dollar is in a more sustainable uptrend, or that yields truly have bottomed and they're in a more sustainable uptrend? And then on to gold. Gold was already trending lower. Gold's been trending lower for a year now and just got whacked on Friday.
Yeah, I have been more negative to the dollar, thinking that the twin deficits are going to come back and haunt it. In recent days, we've seen a record U.S. trade deficit, monthly trade deficit, a little bit more than $75 billion. And that didn't stop the dollar from rallying. The bond, when the yields were down at 112 on the 10-year, the dollar was still pretty firm. It hadn't really, it lost, you know, it was softer, but it wasn't, it was at the sort of the lower end of the range, but still in the range. So I think that, it's giving me some concern that at least in the near term, we still have potential for further dollar gains. I'm concerned, I guess, if there's some things that would change my mind. I'd like to see next week's CPI data. I'm sure a lot of other people would like to see it early, too. But I think that it could be the first month since last October that the year-over-year rate softens. That's one. And the second point I'd have is that I see all these signs of countries, states in the U.S., municipalities, taking action over this Delta variant. And it's going to lead to, I think, some economic impact. It's hard to see it in the U.S. quite yet, though. We do know that many of the large companies are postponing, delaying when they return to office. We see that schools in New York, at least, will be having students will have to be wearing masks. And for other countries like Sydney in Australia, for example, Sydney have been in lockdown for several weeks, and they are still seeing record number of cases. Same thing in Japan. Other countries in Asia, including China, where they seem to have a handle on the virus, now it's growing again, and lockdowns and other social restrictions. So I'm still concerned that we're not quite out of the woods yet, and I'm not sure how that plays in the dollar. At least initially, the dollar had strengthened on ideas that there was going to be renewed sort of anxiety over the COVID, slowing the world economy, a flight to safe haven. And that's when we saw the yen and the Swiss franc also trade well. You know, this week, dollar yen had fallen to, we had gotten down to the yen well below the 109 level and actually bottomed at almost a 2-month low, you know, 108.70. And now, last couple of days, we've also gone back as U.S. yields have risen. And so even the other safe haven currencies or funding currencies have traded a bit heavier against the dollar this week.
When you take a step back, Mark, regarding gold, doesn't it seem like everything is going against gold right now? Maybe outside of inflation, at least inflation is still staying high, but if the dollar's recovering, if yields have bottomed, and one thing to consider, even when yields were moving down fairly quickly and inflation was moving higher, that wasn't helping gold. So now with this potential change in trend, I don't know what's there in terms of an argument to say you need to be in gold right now, other than, let's say, it's undervalued because it's underperformed everything else. But that's a tough argument or a tough trade to make, I would say.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think that the idea, too, would be that it is a big move in gold. The momentum indicators tell you that it looks like I got ways to, a little bit more to go, at least. I'd be looking for some kind of reversal pattern before I try to pick a bottom here. Something that tells you there's a downside momentum has stalled. I think there's a lot of people looking at the large U.S. debt. And, you know, this, in the next couple of days, the U.S. Senate is going to, likely pass the infrastructure bill. It might take the House of Representatives another month, come back from recess and address it. But with all this spending, I thought that some people like gold. The crypto wasn't performing the way many people thought. I had sort of like, talk with people who seem to think that gold would be a good place to hang out as paper money was debased. But it turns out there's not quite a great store of value right now.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. Great chatting with you, as always, buddy. Again, you can keep up to date on what Mark is thinking and the markets he's following day to day by visiting the Mark to Market blog. Mark, everybody else, thanks for tuning in this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally.
That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.